Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. I'm Pastor Paul Andrelonis, and I'm joined by Pastor Roger Robbins again, 2 days in a row, back
Day
to
two.
Back, talking about prayer. Yesterday, we talked about the power of prayer and what that means, from our understanding and what the Bible says about how powerful prayer can be. And today, we're going to continue that conversation and kind of build on it, I guess, in a way, and talking about praying in the will of God and how the will of God and our will as human beings, how they coexist, how they interact, how we would like them to overlap and go side by side with one another. So maybe, Rod, you want to kick us off with some thoughts about prayer and the will of God?
Well, we were reflecting yesterday because it was good. It was, we thought it was, we don't know about you guys, but we were like, this is great. And, and we hung out afterwards and kind of, digested and then also kind of like, again, thought about the things that were brought to life through scripture and through our discussion. Mm-hmm. And one of them that was, I think, fitting to start the second part is this, beautiful picture of like God and his will. God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases in Psalm 115.
Yes.
Verse 3, right? So he alone, it's his will. Mm-hmm. He was there before I was. But then there's this beautiful gift given to us through creation, God initiating his love through his will. And gave us breath and gave us life and gave us a place and a home and then given us a free volition, a will.
Yeah.
And so you said yesterday, as we talk about prayer, that when it comes to finding God's will in prayer, that like the picture of it is God's will and my will, how is it that we kind of meet in the middle? You know, like, are we like, okay, God, I have what I have and what I'm able to do and what my ability is. And I also understand you have yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it, God, it's all your will that I seek. It is your kingdom that I would desire to come. Mm-hmm. And can I have what is in your will?
Yeah.
What your will is doing and not my will, but yours be done. I mean, that is like, let's just repeat it over again in our day.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the foundation, not my will, but yours be done.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit in thinking about like our prayer life as we look at the power of prayer. Is, you know, sourced in who we are praying to, like that dependent on if I'm praying to an idol that is made out of wood, my prayers are going to be reflective of what I believe that that idol can do. And in the same way, when we're praying to God, the potential, the power that exists in the God that I'm praying to is going to impact the prayers that I pray and how big or how small they are. And in the same way, we are subjecting ourselves, you know, to this will, to the will of God. And it also requires us to have an understanding or requires us to think about what the will of God is for me and how do I view God in his will, right? It is his will that I exist at all, like as a human being. And at the beginning of time and creation, he was, you know, the uncaused first cause, you know, he's purely actual in that he doesn't depend on anything else and that he doesn't need us. But the reality is that he wants us and desires relationship with us. And this reality is important for us in our prayer as we are responding to his will and trying to align and trying to relate to him in his will as we learn and make decisions in our personal will.
Right. Yeah. And it's also to say, like, we also talked about this, like, well, my will is important. Like, God has given it to me. Mm-hmm. It is a gift. Mm. And I think that's like, I mentioned this like before the show, like the law or the idea of first cause. Like, like who started this?
Yeah.
Like, did I just somehow have my will before the foundation of the earth? Did I exist before everything? No, I am the, we are the created and we have a creator. Mm-hmm. So I am the creature. Mm-hmm. And so we have to flip the script or flip the picture here, mm-hmm. and start with the one who initiated. Yeah. I found this verse in Deuteronomy about Moses reflecting on the goodness of God and his will. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking to Israel and saying, this God who willed his favor, his will towards us, he dwelt in a bush. Mm-hmm. Like he was there waiting to help Moses when Moses was down and out. Mm. And the things that took Moses into the desert, what his will, what his decisions led him. Yeah. And it made me think of Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. Hmm. So to help us rearrange this picture, don't we need to like look at God in the right light? Like, Lord, help me to see that, okay, my will is apparent, is existing.
Yes.
But Lord, you gave it to me. You started this. Mm-hmm. Maybe, let's say, I will seek you. Yeah. Like, I will turn to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the foundational thing, like we were saying, like understanding, what's my understanding of who God is, mm-hmm. and how I understand him in my life and his value or lack of value in my life or input or lack of input in my life, right? If I am living my life without any concept of God or I have no reference for him in my life, or I have a deistic viewpoint where he created humanity or created the universe and he's just off to the side watching everything fall apart or whatever, he set it in motion and leaves it to be, or if I believe that he is wants to be a part of what's going on in my life. And that's, you know, the aspect of that interaction with Moses that is so beautiful, is that God saw and his will was that Moses would recognize him, mm-hmm. and that Moses would, his will would go along with what God's will is for him. And we can maybe think about that and say, well, why does my will even matter if God's will, it came first, mm-hmm. and then he has a will and I am just, you know, a human being and insignificant making my decisions that aren't really any decisions. And this viewpoint of like, being subject to God's will, we in humanistic terms or outside of God, people have this idea that everything is a result of the previous cause, you know, where like I don't have any control over anything. Anyways, everything that I decide is just, you know, neurons in my brain reacting to stimuli that are coming from outside of me. So in these two viewpoints, like do I want to have a God who cares about me and loves about me, or do I want everything to be up to chance? I would say,
man,
I'd rather have the will of God or have this person that cares and loves me and is all powerful and all knowing and all this as my resource, as opposed to the unknown, the you know, lack of everything's purposeless, essentially.
I love this thought because you teach a survey of doctrine and you teach about how like God makes himself known to us.
Yes.
Right? Like the Bible, this is theology, is that God can be known.
Yeah.
You can learn about God.
Yeah.
And that's like, I think that the very premise of understanding God's will is that his will is to reveal himself. Hmm. Yeah. Unlike everything else in the world or anything else that the world today is following as a higher power, spiritual being slash like, you know, person of interest and influence and power.
Yeah.
Unlike all that, God is fully transparent. Mm-hmm. Like he's like letting himself be known so much that he would come to the desert and speak to Moses in a bush.
Yeah.
Like, how low can you go?
Yeah.
And it's just such a picture of Christ, like how low he wills to go as low as possible
yes.
to get every single person's attention.
Yes.
So like that is an amazing premise. He's unlike anyone else. He's revealed this.
Yeah. And the reminder and the example that we have of, you know, succumbing or reducing my will before the Father's will, before God's will, you know, Jesus is the perfect example of that, where he has even brought his will below the will of humanity in a sense, in that he allowed them to crucify mm-hmm. him and die. And then that humiliation was then able, he was exalted after that humiliation happened. So in that way, we see, okay, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus, who is God, was willing to bring his will to the lowest, and then we have that example from him in our will, in our decision making, in our lives. Like, and like we were saying before, like our will is dependent on our understanding, like how we make decisions in our life.
Yes.
It depends on what we understand about whatever it is. And in prayer, it's the same way. Like, if my understanding of God is going to dictate what I am praying to God for, what I am asking God for, how I am communicating with God. Mm. You know, am I just repeating a ritual of words that I've read in the Bible, that I've heard at church, or whatever the case is, that really have no meaning? Or is this a conversation where I am actually laying my heart out before the Lord? And we see this in the Psalms all over the place, that, you know, where are you, God?
Yes.
Where were you? What is going on? The enemies are all around me and you aren't listening to me. I don't see you. I don't sense your presence. I don't have all these things. And that is the result of understanding of who God is, that he cares about us, and he's not afraid of us challenging him in that.
Yes.
So that he can demonstrate.
And isn't it so important, like, as this, like, let's establish this rule: God's will came first. It existed before we ever did.
Yeah.
And then he willed us into existence, right? Like, he gave us breath. Okay. So let's establish that rule. Like, okay, God came first. I came after, you know, the superior initiated to the inferior, or the infinite made the finite.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if that's the case, and then based upon that decision that the superior or the infinite created the finite, we have to throw the word love in there, right? Like, what was the purpose of this creator creating us? It was, as we see in the Bible, which again is that it's clearly seen that he made us in his image.
Yes.
So he has a plan and a purpose.
Yeah.
So that's riding along or accompanying, and the what's behind the will.
Yeah.
And so my point is to the finite, to us as God's creation, isn't it, there's like an impasse where we have to take our will and what will we do with it?
Yeah.
Like, will we go, I'm going to paint the Mona Lisa a little bit better. Like, I'm gonna paint the Picasso with what I think based upon what I see and understand. Or is it, I wanna seek you more. And in doing so, God's like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with Moses, right? He's like, you can imagine Moses, like, what am I doing? It's searching and wandering around this desert. Mm-hmm. And God comes to him and he says, like, take off these shoes. You're in holy ground. He's like looking around the bush. How is this possible that the living God is speaking to me? And it's in that moment, as Moses surrenders his will and everything that he does, that he discovers the living God and all that he lacks and all that he's not able to do.
Yeah.
So isn't there like an... That's the impasse or the
conflict.
Or like the intersection
where
it's like, whose will is going to be the priority, or whose will is going to be sought after?
Yeah.
Is it like we said in the beginning? Is it like, let's meet in the middle?
Yeah.
Or is it take off your shoes?
Yeah. Because I mean, that's like, at the beginning of humanity, like that was the reality, is like God has a will, like this is what I have made you for. Right? And you are making decisions, you are deciding what to name the animals, you are overseeing the garden, and you are tending to those things, and I have given you this freedom to choose what you are going to do, and then
name all the animals.
We have all these, then they have a choice, and they, you know, with the help of the tempter of the serpent coming and showing them something else, showing them how to exercise their will outside of God's will. God's will is sovereign over all. So, but in a way they are determining, like making a decision that is really self-interested and is going against the will of God in the eating of the tree of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. And they're now, this will, this freedom that they have. And we've heard this, you know, there's this, illustration of like, if God wanted things to be clean and nice and safe, he would have put man in a cage and not let him make any choices or do anything.
Right.
But he put him in a garden and gave him the choices, gave him the free will to make the choice, and a mess happened, you know, and there was death that was a result of that decision in the will. And we have this, transition now that God's will is being, you know, contradicted by man's will. And then the rest of history and the rest of time is God wanting his will to be done in the crown jewel of his creation, which is humanity.
Which he started in the beginning.
Which in the beginning, that was the whole, that was his design, that was his purpose, that we would rule and reign with him. But then in our will, we chose not to. And now over, you know, thousands of years and throughout, you know, since that point, now we are God wants us to be back in alignment with that will that he established at the beginning. And Christ was the fulfillment of that in a way, and demonstration of how that is possible to have his will be done, and on earth as it is in heaven. He's the only one who could meet both of those criteria, being the God and man. But this is like, you know, the will of man being subject to the will of God, and the beauty of that, because the beauty of the garden pre-fall is you know, a picture, I think, of what heaven will be like when we are with him. Humanity and God, you know, deity and humanity in oneness, in relationship, in the fullest extent, having that conversation, having the prayer and the response and all those different things in humanity, and the man's will disobeying God and them being stuck. And we see in Genesis 4, where, or the end of Genesis 3, where they remove, where they're kicked out of the garden, which, you know, I have read that some consider that to be, you know, a grace that God gave and a mercy that God gave to Adam and Eve, because being in the place of, you know, perfection, really, where God and humanity were meant to dwell, and having the reminder of your disobedience for you know, over and over again, you know, could be seen as like, as hell, because you're really experiencing the disobedience and the reminded of the loss that you've had in your life. So now this life is, we're working our, not working our way, but the, as time goes on, God is revealing his will, and we are wanting to mirror his will and be conformed to his will.
Because there's lost trust. Like, so God, like, he's like, I completely trust you in the garden. We fall. And, you know, fellowship relationship is broken. And we exit the garden. And now it's like, how do we get back on track? You know, like that's the question here. It's like, how do we get back on track? And we know that God said there in Genesis how it's going to happen, you know, that that Eve is going to crush
the head of the
serpent.
Yeah, the seed of the woman.
So the seed of the woman here, so there is a plan, and it's God's will is still intact and on display. So now we're like post-fall, and, you know, we're fast-forwarding thousands of years, and we can say all those things, but now, as believers who have found the answer, like practically speaking, when it comes to our prayer life, like we have to, we were saying earlier, at the end of our time yesterday, that we have to meditate on these first couple chapters of Genesis mm-hmm. in order to remind ourselves and refresh ourselves mm-hmm. of what God's plan was, what his will was. Because
yeah.
you just spelled out something that rearranges my thoughts mm-hmm. about who God is, mm-hmm. what he did, mm-hmm. what happened after the fall, mm-hmm. and then fast forwarding as we read our Bibles and we see Christ come in the picture, an answer to realignment. So then how can I find the will of God? In James, James 4:3, we pray and we ask amiss.
Yes.
Like we miss the target. And it sounds to me like kind of the way it was in the garden. Like mm-hmm. we missed. We made a decision and we missed. It wasn't God's will that I would be, you know, eat of this tree, right? So let's break that down for a minute. Like I missed. Okay. Yeah. So what do we do from there? What do we do when we miss as believers in our prayer? Like, okay, I missed your will. Mm-hmm. Now, God, help me do your will. And I was thinking of Psalm 40, verse 8. The psalmist says, I delight to do your will, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I delight to do your will. Is it possible that I miss, okay, and then I realign and I go, what is your will, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's ultimately what we're saying. I did my will in the garden. We all did.
Yeah.
We tasted of it mm-hmm. and it was bitter.
Yeah.
It was a curse. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And thanks be to God in Galatians chapter 3, Jesus took on that curse.
Yeah.
He tasted of that death.
Yeah.
So, okay, I missed. Now let's try again.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? Like in a practical way?
I think like there's a verse that talks about our prayer and supplication. There's different viewpoints that we can have in our prayer life that, you know, and like we said, it's related to our recognition of who God is and understanding of who God is. But there's a few different places in the epistles where Paul talks about in prayer and supplication. One of them is Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right. And then another place, there's a one in Ephesians, I think, chapter 6. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And there's another in Colossians 4, there's another one that says, be watchful. Mm-hmm. And to have thanksgiving. So like in our prayer, in our, you know, maybe we've asked amiss, but when we're praying, are we thankful for God hearing our prayer? Mm-hmm. Maybe he doesn't answer our prayer, but the fact that we have the opportunity to speak to God and know that he is listening to us, and maybe his will, our understanding or what we want to have happen isn't what actually needs to happen or isn't in our best interest. And we don't know it at that point or in our prayer life, but like we're praying and we're thankful to have that opportunity to pray and to be watchful of the answers to those prayers that we have, or maybe the different, you know, maybe it's not the answer that I wanted or thought, but it's actually, I can see and be thankful for God answering it in a different way or having me be in a different situation or a circumstance that maybe it's not so much I'm asking for a new car and you give me, I give you the model, the type, all these different things, and God doesn't give you that, so I'm disappointed because God didn't answer my prayer.
Right.
But maybe he makes a provision so that I can have transportation and have something without having the exact thing that I'm looking for be the answer to that prayer. So if I'm watchful and thankful for him hearing and listening, I can see the potential for his will being done and not my will being done, because maybe it's not in my best interest to have
That's it. Like you're saying acknowledge God, like he knows best.
Yeah.
Like I hear that saying, like when I was a kid, like your father knows best. Mm-hmm. And in me, in my little teenager self,
yep.
my little Will, or even younger, like we've had kids. And for anyone who's had kids, I remember Pastor Lange, my father-in-law, just being like, wait till you see them discover their own will.
Yeah.
He was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you know, they're cute and innocent. Yeah. He's like, no, they're going to discover their will, their ability to choose and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So like, think about how we have this will, and will we acknowledge its existence mm-hmm. and what it wants to do mm-hmm. and versus like what God it wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like maybe that's where we as believers and in our prayer, in our actions, in our decision making, we make the decision like, okay, I have my will. I've seen where it goes.
Yeah.
And I can see that it can easily be deceived, right? I see that there's this sin in me, right?
Yeah.
So I am going to defer to your will. And what's one of the ways I was thinking, like how I can find God's will is practically just scripture.
Yeah.
I see what God willed in scripture and I go, can you line me up with that? Mm-hmm. Can I come alongside it? Yeah. Can I like a train track? Like, can I parallel way mm-hmm. go with your will? Because I see where mine goes.
Yeah.
Right. So as that child grows, I'm telling him, her, mm-hmm. like dad knows best.
Yeah.
And I mean, even more than that, we're saying the Lord knows best.
Yes.
But we're like, hey, explaining a situation, but yet their will is fighting. Mm-hmm. So we're saying, well, can you understand? And so we give examples like when I was a child, this is what my dad told me to do. Yeah. And it saved me from this.
Yeah.
You know, like little precepts, little proverbs, little stories.
Yeah.
So the word through, like, I think a lot of Old Testament mm-hmm. stories, when we meditate on them and we kind of like think and look at God's will, like, why did he do that?
Yeah.
Like, why did he send a famine into the land?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why did you do that? And we ponder it and we see that how the hand of God and how his will operated mm-hmm. to ultimately draw people to him. Because, right, isn't that his will? Mm-hmm. That we would be together in the garden.
Yes.
Walking, right, together.
Exactly. And that's like his will is to have us be in that place. And we talk about it in biblical psychology a lot about, mm-hmm. you know, the parts of man and how we have this spiritual aspect to us that God has put a desire for a relationship with him inside humanity. We're his image bearers. And in order to bear his image, we need to have this relationship. We need to, you know, in the fullest way, in order to bear his image in the best and fullest way is to have him dwelling in our midst, and the picture of the garden being that place where his will is done and not mine, and you know, to the fullest extent, and those concentric circles that we do this diagram where there's, you know, Eden, yeah. then there's the garden, and then there's the tree of life, mm-hmm. and at the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's where my will is subject to God's will in the depth of who I am and my humanity. And that is reflected in my prayer life. Like, is my heart longing for this relationship with God? Is my prayer life centered around this relationship with God, my understanding of who he is? And in order to have my will be subject to go under his will, I have to have that type of connection with him. And like you said, in practical ways, reading my Bible and being, you know, having my prayers be real and authentic with God, I think is a practical thing. Because like we said, he can handle the real and the authentic. He already knows everything there is to know about us, but mm-hmm. are we actually making that known to him in our prayer life? Like, Lord, I want to do this thing.
Yeah.
Or I don't like this thing that's happening. please change it. And then I can see, because we, you know, the Apostle Paul said he prayed to the Lord three times to have this thorn in his mm-hmm. flesh removed, and it wasn't. Yes. And he was saying, okay, Lord, this must be your will that this thorn is in my flesh. And because it's your will, I will press on. I will go towards the prize of the high calling of God, because I know it's not my will. I know it's yours. And the practical aspect of this thing in my life is difficult, but because I know it's your will, then I'm able to live in it and grow in my faith and be more conformed to your image, you know, and the sufferings that he experienced. And Paul is like the example that he gives of those types of things are like, we probably are never going to have those types of types of pressures or persecutions or those types of things. So it's hard to kind of have a practical example for us in that. But there are those just in the conceptually that there's those concepts in our minds where we can say, Lord, I don't like this in my life. And Him providing and praying and looking for him to do something and being watchful of those things, because we can be very have tunnel vision when we're praying to God, especially when we're praying in our own will.
Yeah, and again, like, we can't stress this enough that, like, I thought about this verse, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you,
yes,
both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Like, who's got the best pleasure? Who's got the best plan? I mentioned it yesterday. There was this young guy in our church in Izmir. His name is Burak. And last year he said to me, in a really tough, a bunch of tough circumstances, he said, he just looked at me. He's like, God doesn't have a bad plan. Mm-hmm. You know? And it hit me so hard. I was like, as if to say, you've had a bad plan. Like, you got a batting average that's like 320. Like, no, he's batting 1,000. God's will is perfect.
Yeah,
and he looks over his word to see it completed.
Yeah,
like, he's like, I'm gonna make sure everything that I will and do will be completed, and it's gonna also be in you. I am working to perfect, I have perfected you, but on earth through sanctification, to conform you more to my image.
Yeah.
And that is the very promise of God and his will right there, like, ready to go. And that's what we're saying, like, dwell on the fact that it's his pleasure to do a great work in you.
Yeah. And yeah, that's such a, his plan. Yeah. He doesn't make a bad plan. And that's such a, like, we have to be reminded of that.
Oh, man.
All the time, I think, because we like
smacked.
Our
Pastor Schaller said that. He's like, sometimes you need to be hit.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. I needed to be hit by this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is something that's worked in my life. Like, you don't have to be the person that does everything.
Yeah.
Like, okay, even in my prayer life, I don't have to pray the perfect prayer in order for God to do the perfect thing in my life.
Right, right.
Like, not that we shouldn't pray, because then you can go to the other end and say, well, if God's going to do it, why should I even pray? And if God hears my prayers before I even pray them, and the Holy Spirit is praying on my behalf, then why even pray? And you can get to that, you know, people can have that concept. But I think the prayer is really for us. God knows our prayers, but it's more for us to make known those things and to not hold on and not say, I'm going to do this thing, but to say, okay, God, you have a plan. And even though I don't understand what this is, I'm going to let you do that. And the thing that's difficult is when it's something that, you know, we desire or something that we care about a lot. And, you know, our desires are placed in our hearts and in us by God.
Yes.
But God's will is, you know, is for us to experience him and have the desires of him.
Yeah.
Right? So that we can have those things that we want, those things that we see for ourselves, the future that we are looking forward to, or the potential for us in our lives, they would be reflective of or glorifying of him.
Yes.
because like our desires, we can get caught up in like, oh, I want this to happen. And this is what God wants me to do. And this is his desire mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And we replace our desire and we say, this is God's desire for me. Yeah, like, which that can happen. But a lot of times we're like, we just want to do what we want to do
right.
and hold on tight to whatever it is and be involved in it
right.
and do those things. But can I let go of those desires that I have? And can God make those desires bigger than I can even imagine?
Right. Can I put them on the altar?
Yeah.
Can I submit them?
Yeah.
Can I obey? Right.
Yeah.
These are the words. Can I give this to the Lord? Can I let go?
Mm.
Like, these are all things where we're saying, let go, like give up.
Yeah.
And that's the point here, is like the Lord's calling us to come and be with him at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
Not that we would hold on to our life because we're going to lose it,
yeah.
but understand that when we let go, when we surrender,
yeah.
we are going to gain, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was thinking like this, we have a question here. What are some practical tips that you can give to believers that want to pray in accordance to God's will? You know, one of them that came to me today in this discussion is like, okay, God is in heaven. And for sure, he's talking. I would imagine he's making plans that are he's already said, already planned, and will already come to pass. We know in Scripture that he has these plans. Like he says in John 14, he's like, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Mm. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, and where I am, you will be.
Mm.
So God has got these plans, and God is in heaven. And like, maybe one of these practical tips can be to meditate and think about what is happening in heaven. And can you bring it to the earth? Mm. Can you, like the Holy Spirit does, who makes intercession for us, mm-hmm. can you help me understand your plans? Mm. And I'm going to think, and I'm going to desire, and I'm going to ponder mm. those
yeah.
discussions and mysteries
yeah.
that are going on in heaven. Like, bring me to that place. And ultimately, I think when that happens, when we set our mind on things above and not on things below, when I seek first the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
then all these other things
will be added.
Yeah. Be added. So it's like I don't know, you said the word posture yesterday, but maybe it is the attitude mm-hmm. of fixing my mind on the things of heaven
mm-hmm.
and the things of the eternal things.
Yeah.
And then that in return, because this is the other, I looked up the Hebrew word. One of the Hebrew words is the idea is that there is a reaction from God
mm-hmm.
based upon the response of the inferior, like mm-hmm. the human.
Yeah.
So like God is pleased
yeah.
when his children go to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, he's like, this is my design, that yeah. you would come to me and seek my will.
Mm.
And I'm so pleased that I will show you my will, and I will go in accordance to your will.
Yeah.
And so as we pray, mm. seeking his will,
yeah.
we find ourselves aligned with that and hearing prayer answered according to his will.
Mm.
You know, like send more laborers
yeah.
into the field. We know without a shadow of a doubt, that is God's will.
Yeah.
That the harvest is plentiful, but mm. the laborers are few. Pray to your Father
yeah.
that he would send them out, right? Like that is his will. Like we know that's like a definite thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We also know that he whosoever believes in him would not perish.
Mm.
Whosoever.
Yeah.
Right? Like we know it. So we focus on those things and we bring heaven to earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's actually like this picture, you know, the Genesis, we want to be back at that place where God is with us,
mm.
where we have that interaction, where we are.
Yeah, like we just desire that.
Yeah, we're not putting ourselves or like we can try to have our will be, you know, God come down to my will, but this is like, that's what Christ, God came down and his will was subject to God's will. And now we are being brought up to his will. And that's like this humiliation that, that happened with Christ. And now the exaltation that's happened with him that we get to experience and we get to be a part of is like the, it's an amazing opportunity for us to experience that and to have that and to know that this God that can do all things chose to do this act of succumbing and coming, you know, humiliating himself, humbling himself as a servant and dying on the cross for us. And maybe just one thing before we wrap up, like there's a lot of talk about willpower in our culture these days. And I don't know, I was just thinking of it just now, just like how much more like the human mind, the human being can will him or herself to do a lot of things, to better themselves or to, you know, go without in order to, there's like, you know, these different things that are, you know, popular in our culture these days, as far as like, you know, resiliency and ice baths and sauna and all the different things.
Hey, come on.
I'm not saying that. I love both of those, all of those things, but it's like something where people are finding this purpose and developing their humanity in order to like prove how powerful they are, you know, where I'm like, okay, I don't need to eat. I can wait to eat till 2 p.m. and only eat 8 hours a day or whatever it is. Or I can go and go to the gym and I can go to the to my max and push myself and push myself and push myself so each day gets easier, you know, which is the mindset behind it, that I am helping my physical body be as ready for anything as it can be and making it stronger, as strong as it can be. But how much more can we have, you know, that just exists without God, you know, in a way.
Sure.
We're physiologically made that way. And some of these things, I think, are pictures that point us towards God.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, I told you to go without. I want you to go without so that you can rely on me.
Mm-hmm.
You can go without and rely on yourself and be stronger, but that is only going to get you to a certain point in your life. But I've actually given you so much more than you can do on your own.
Hmm.
So you can, like, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things, but how much more impactful is that, are those things, when I realize, oh my gosh, God put this desire in me and my willpower can be connected with his omnipotence, and that I can do physically those things that go beyond maybe what I thought I could do, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally, I can also go beyond what I could expect because I have the eternality, God's eternity in my heart, and that makes it so that my life in general, not just physically how I feel, but all the other aspects of my life grow and be stronger and as big as God is,
right?
And our
That's
willpower,
a good point, huh?
Like, and then bringing that back to prayer, the prayer, like in my will, the power that comes from God in my prayer life,
right,
that gives me that boldness to ask,
yes,
to seek, to knock.
Have you ever had that? Like, what you're saying is I'm getting this boldness and power from seeking God's will.
Yeah.
And then it comes out in prayer. Have you ever had that prayer where you're like, we were in our church in Turkey once, and I said, for the Christmas concert, I said, we started praying. We pray that the governor comes to the concert. Like, it just came out of our mouth.
Yeah.
And it was like, no one discussed it or talked about it. Or I pray that like my grandmother finds the Lord, and she's like a staunch atheist who mocks us regularly. You know, what is God's will?
Yes.
And as it, you will see it as you search him, bring great power.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I like that. Like, there is maybe not according to my own will. Yes.
Yeah.
So now, here we go, power.
Yeah, like there is nothing that God can't do, but am I asking him to do the things that only he can? You know, because like those are the things that, you know, we all have those moments of prayer where we're like, or in ministry where we're like, okay, this is pretty unrealistic, but let's pray anyway.
Yes.
And how many times, you know, Pastor Schaller's mentioned it before, where like if I had known 40 years ago when I went to Finland and now, you know, coming and when Ben Bensku and Mika got married, and he's seeing like the power of prayer, the power of what God is doing for, like, how much are we having those same types of ideas of what God can do? Because we can't even imagine what he's going to do.
And that's
what
the point, right? We're, if we're not seeking his will, we are ultimately limiting our prayers and our ability to really like exercise God's power.
Yeah.
Like, so seek his will.
Yeah.
I delight to do your will, O Lord.
Yes.
Come on. And I will not forget your law and precepts. Like,
amen.
You got a plan.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Psalm 119. It's just the law of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, these things that he is reminding us of how powerful he is and how amazing he is. And yeah, that's we have the power of God through his will being exercised in our lives as we're walking with him, as we're following after him, as we're making our requests known to him, and then watching him do the amazing work and being thankful that he loves us and that we even have this opportunity to relate to him in a
to
real
watch
way.
Him.
Yeah.
It's going to play out, guys.
Let's just watch God. Let's
hold on
trust
tight.
Him and yeah, watch him do his will. By his power.
I love that. Let's watch him do his will, not mine.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch my will play out. I want to, and through that, our will is being played out, right? Because we align it with his.
Yeah. Amen. Man.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
Can you believe it?
All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the other places, and continue to listen this week as we continue talking about prayer. Have a good one.